He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the weekend review of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management, a virtual firm that has clients all over the country. And I'm here with the chartered financial analyst at our firm, Barry Kite. Barry, welcome to the Week in Review show of the Best Stocks Now show.
Good morning. We made it. We made it through.
Oh, so, boy, I'll tell you what. You know what? Look, this past week has been wild once again. I think it's safe to say that 2022 has been wild in the market. I think it's also safe to say that we warned everybody that this was coming. I would also say that we positioned ourselves pretty nicely for what has occurred and what is occurring. We need to talk today about how to be positioned going forward here. So that's, we've got a lot to talk about today, but I think just summing up this past week, it was all about really two things. For the most part, Ukraine-Russia tension dominated this past week because it's an unknown. The market does not like unknowns. And on Tuesday, we got further evidence that inflation is running hot, hot, hot when the PPI report came in. And we've seen one of the major sectors of the market that's been really sleepy for a long time, that gold sector, that precious metal sector, all of a sudden start to wake up and kind of break out here on both the global tension and on the inflation issues. So, boy, there's a lot going on, and hopefully we can be of some use and help to investors out there that want to know how to handle this. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show, Week in Review, with professional money manager Bill Gunderson of Gunderson Capital Management. And I've got my CFA here, chartered financial analyst. He's also a certified financial planner, Barry Kite. And I kind of want to put everything into perspective about the market here in 2022, which is a completely different market from last year, and it's a completely different market from the year before that, the COVID year, which was a fantastic year for the market, go figure. But we're in a totally different market today than we have been for quite some time here. All right, well, I'm Bill Gunderson. I've been a professional money manager for the last 23 years. I've been an analyst writing up research reports on individual companies. I've been through two very vicious bear markets. I went through the dot-com bubble crash collapse in the year 2000. That took 80% out of the NASDAQ. And I've also been through the 2008-2009 financial crisis, which took 53% out of the S&P 500. And I'm the president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm physically located in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina, after being in San Diego, California for 25 years, 30 years. But now this is where I'm physically located. My staff is all over the country. We run a virtual firm. We were virtual way before Zoom was invented, way before COVID came along, because we have our radio show is heard in different markets around the country.
Before DocuSign?
That's right. That's right. We did everything by overnight mail. You know, my postage bill was very high at the end of the year. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients that are invested in the portfolios that I run from all across America. And if you want to get more information on who we are, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. You get more information about the various portfolios that we run, the custom types of plan portfolios that we put together for you, etc. And you don't have to drive downtown, fight for a parking place, get in a crowded elevator in one of the mucky muck buildings, you know, downtown. We are a virtual firm. We do everything via phone, nowadays Zoom, etc. And it's just much more efficient, much, much more efficient all the way around. And you can also, I mean, you want to meet with us face-to-face. Well, you know what? Face-to-face has a little different meaning these days, Barry, than it previously did. I do workshops now all over the country, and I do them sitting here at my desk in Mount Pleasant in my office, and zooming in to wherever I need to be zoomed in. It's a lot more efficient. I get a whole lot more done, really, with today's technology. Okay, all right. It's been a rocky market, to say the least, here in 2022, and there's a very easy, I think, explanation for that. And, you know, in addition to being a professional money manager and doing a daily radio show on the stock market called Best Stocks Now, which I've been doing for 23 years, I also write a newsletter, which I'm working on here and getting ready to send it out Saturday afternoon. I've written that for the last 23 years. It's the Best Stocks Now newsletter. And a big portion of that newsletter is devoted to the overall macro outlook, target price for the S&P 500. I've been bullish on the market since 2009. I consider myself a market timer. At some point in time, we're going to start to see earnings start to recede in the market, expectations start to recede. We will see another recession. We will see another bear market. There's no question about it. And that's why doing that weekly newsletter, you know, keeps me in touch with all these various things out there that could put us into recession and could put us into a bear market. Now, having said that, Barry, let's go back to 2009 for a moment. 2009, we were coming out of the financial crisis. We went through all the TARP funds and the bailouts, and we had shotgun weddings between certain companies, and we were kind of ready. It was kind of a refresh, a restart, a reboot. And at that time, the earnings for the S&P 500, the aggregate or earnings for all 500 companies, about $60 per share, okay? About $60 per share. And over time, you know, we've used a multiple on earnings for the S&P in the 16 to 18 range. So back then, the S&P 500, let's just take 16 times $60 per share. The S&P was worth about $960 back then in 2009. That's about where it was. It got as low as $670 as earnings collapsed during the financial crisis. But we finally settled in 2009 about $60 per share, and the market was trading under 1,000. That's the S&P 500. Now, fast forward to today, we're up around 4,400. We've been as high as 4,700. And I think there's an easy explanation for that, too. That's because earnings for the S&P 500 have been going up every single year since then, except for the COVID year. We had one extraordinary year where the earnings dropped. But this year, we're looking for about $225 per share in earnings for the S&P 500. So why has the S&P gone from 660, 670, somewhere in there, to today's 4,400, because the earnings have grown. We've seen a little expansion in the multiple because of a low interest rate environment that we've had all during this time. And hence the value of the market here today. And now, if we're going to continue on this bull run for 12 years, which is severely being threatened right now, to be honest with you. We'll get into that in a moment. Those earnings have to continue to grow. I mean, despite Omicron, which has now kind of disappeared, despite inflation, despite the supply chain constrictions, etc. And at least for now, those earnings are expected to grow this year and hit record highs, and they need to continue growing next year. But there's a lot of threats to that right now. There's a whole new game in town. After 40 years of falling interest rates, we are finally in a rising interest rate environment. That changes everything about the way you've got to think about the market, the sectors, the style, the various asset classes that you need to invest in now with this big change in the environment we're in. Begin with getting the newsletter, 2 free weeks, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Show Week in Review. And I'm sure investors this year, 2022, have a lot of questions, Barry. And let's begin with this this big change that has taken place in the market. After 40 years of interest rates going down, all of a sudden we're turning the corner and interest rates are starting to go up. What does that mean for investors that are used to that 40-year falling interest rate environment?
Well, first, it's a headwind for the traditional portfolio allocation model, right? Whereas, a certain mix, right, of bonds and equities, and as you get older, right, that mix moves more and more, right, towards, more bonds versus equities. But, combination of folks living longer, so essentially longer retirements, and then also with lower interest rates, right, that our financial planning books from, the early 2000s are kind of, being rewritten by the market to a certain extent. So, certainly I think the headwinds for the market and then headwinds for growth stocks in general, both of those are probably a couple of the big differences that we've really seen and will likely persist, right, for at least for this year, but probably for a period of time.
Well, for the last 40 years, bond funds have done fantastic because they've had the wind at their back. Bonds go up when interest rates go down, but now we're in that opposite situation, and bond funds have the wind in their face right now. Most bond funds right now, after 6 weeks of market action, are down about 6% so far this year. And consider that interest rates have not really gone up that much yet. We began the year at about 1.5, somewhere in there. Now we're pushing up against 2. We've been over 2. And, the consensus is for anywhere from 4 to 7 rate hikes this year. That's just going to continue to increase the headwind for bonds. In other words, bond funds are going to continue to go down. I don't care if it's a Ginnie Mae. I don't care if it's a municipal. I don't care if it's corporate. I don't care if it's global bonds. Bonds now have a severe headwind against them, bond funds. So to me, you've got to rethink your strategy. We prefer to own individual bonds and hold them to maturity instead of bond funds, because bond funds are very much sensitive to interest rates. I mean, for instance, they're down about 6% so far this year, just 6 weeks into the year, and we think that interest rates have quite a bit higher to go here. Okay, number one, that's number one. Number two, what impact do rising interest rates have on stocks, Barry?
Well, in kind of hit, you know, in terms of similar to bonds, right? Now, kind of this new, and it's funny. It's you know, in all of my CFA studies, as well as in in finance, right? We never finance degree, everything else. We never heard the term long duration applied to stocks, right?
Right.
And probably given those interest rate. The interest rate cycle we've been in for the last 40 years, but
it wasn't necessary.
Right. And so, now, of course, you know, as we've hit on, and that's what you've seen, the reason you've seen these big haircuts in the market is that as interest rates go up, future earnings are worth less. And so if you've got, two stocks and one of those stocks, most of their earnings are, further off into the future, well, then, all else being equal, they're going to be valued less than that stock where, say most of their earnings, right, are going to occur, within a near term. And so that comparison, I think, is taken a while for investors to kind of wrap their arms around. But, on the other end, the markets repriced those names fairly quickly. I mean, take Roku for an example this week. I know, this week, I think Facebook dropped out of one of the top 10, companies in terms of market cap. So there's, you've got a lot of examples out there that we've seen, where things have, dropped very quickly. Roblox is another one from this week, but.
Well, and nowhere does that show up more. Actually, these interest rates started rising a year ago on their own without the Fed even having to hike rates. And that's, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of ARK Fund, A-R-K-K, hitting its all-time high. And since then, it's down 56%. And I use that as an example of that is a fund run by Kathy Wood, a family of funds that are very much long duration stocks. It's going to be a long time before most of those companies, the Rokus, the Roblox of the world, before they'll be profitable, okay? Just like a long duration bond, these are long duration stocks. The market now is favoring companies that are profitable now, that are have lower PE ratios, that pay dividends. It's totally a different market. So what does this mean for you? Well, if you have a 401k or if you own stocks, you got to run from all of the high price to earnings stocks, price to sales stocks, because they still have further to go. No, they're not a bargain. No, they're not cheap because interest rates are going higher. And in my book, from my experience, those stocks are going lower, very much like the dot-com bubble bursting in the year 2000. The bubble has been bursting big time for these, innovative types of companies that may be a big deal someday, but in the meantime, they're losing money. The space exploration, the autonomous cars, the flying robo-taxis, etc. Instead, the market is greatly favoring and moving away quickly from those stocks, and it's going into areas of the market that benefit from a rising interest rate environment. I know a robo-taxi that flies and picks you up and takes you to the airport, even though it doesn't exist now, that's a long-duration stock. A bank stock is not as exciting. An insurance stock is not as exciting. An oil and gas stock is not as exciting or sexy. But you know what? The market is favoring those stocks now and will continue to favor those stocks. Another big key, couple of key terms here. Those are considered value stocks. They're trading at low PE ratios. They're more short duration in nature. This is a year that favors value over growth. And a lot of people have 401ks, and they have a choice in there. You can buy the Fidelity Growth Fund or the Fidelity Value Fund. This current environment favors the value side of that equation. More on that in our free newsletter that only goes to our clients and subscribers, but we give out 2 free weeks to our radio listeners. GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Dogs Now show, week in review, where we're talking about this current market, which is much, much different from the market of 2 years ago. The bull market, which began in 2009, is still intact, but it's definitely under pressure right now. And that pressure is coming from three areas that we'll talk about here in this quarter of the show. And just a reminder, I'm the CEO of Gunderson Capital Management. We are a virtual firm. I've been doing business virtually for many years because I've had a radio show across the nation for many, many years. You can also call us if you would like to set up an appointment if you're getting a little panicky about your portfolio. We've taken some pretty draconian measures here since the beginning of the year to protect against some of these areas that are under fire right now and try to take advantage of some of the areas that actually benefit from these new conditions that exist in the market. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Okay, the biggest threats right now, I would say number one, is inflation, okay, which leads to the Fed. All paths to the Fed right now lead to inflation. Now let's put this in perspective. The Fed has kept interest rates at zero, Barry, basically since 2009, right?
Yeah, too. I mean, historically, yes, right? I mean, it took a, you had some, of course, you know, QE infinity, right? QE3, I think that took us probably all the way to, what, 2012? Then they, you know, started raising the Fed funds rate, but in reality, you know, kind of what you're, you know, if you look at what the real net was at the time, especially based on the size of their balance sheet, you know, it was probably, you know, closer to zero even then.
Yes.
And, you know, and then of course, Powell had the, you know, kind of the misstep where he's raising rates into Christmas of 2018.
Right.
Turned around and, you know, reversed course, basically unwound all, you know, of those quarter point hikes that he did, in 2000, you know, did that through 2019. And then of course, COVID in 2020, right? And
so. Yes.
And so then we went back to zero, and of course the balance sheet has ballooned even bigger than, you know, I believe even bigger than 08-09. But yeah, that's the, you know, and the theme there, I think, is, you know, the way I've been thinking about inflation is, right, okay, let's say it is transitory to some degree, right? Okay, well, you know, the biggest issue now is the fact that, you know, Russia can introduce a new set of inflation into the mix, right? You know, initially it was, you know, some say supply and demand mismatches. Let's just say that's true. And those work out over time. Well, you know, a Russian invasion of Ukraine, as we've talked about on the show, is going to raise, you know, oil prices, gas prices, natural gas prices, you know, grain prices. Grain, you know, is used as feed, which creates, you know, higher chicken prices. I saw some notes of some avian flu, bird flu in, you know, here in the States, actually, at some chicken farms in Kentucky, I believe Indiana. That's going to raise chicken prices. So there's the chance of future inflation, you know, those kind of shocks will only, you know, kind of, you know, worsen kind of where we're at this moment,
yeah,
regardless of what the Fed does.
Yeah,
right?
Normally along the way of a 12-year bull market where you've seen the Dow go from 7,000 to 37,000, you would have seen many rate hikes along the way to keep the economy kind of under control and going into an inflationary environment. Instead, because of one thing or another, they have been extraordinarily kind and accommodative to the markets for a long time. They've kept interest rates artificially low in the bond market by buying. They're the buyers of the bonds that they're issuing in many cases, with their and their balance sheet has now expanded to $9 trillion, and they need to start selling some of those bonds into the market. So there's upwards pressure on interest rates from that. But the bigger problem right now is all of a sudden we haven't seen inflation since the late 70s, the 70s, when Gerald Ford was wearing a button, whip inflation now, because it was out of control in the Jimmy Carter years. And in comes Paul Volcker, who has to take rates up to 20% in order to put us into a recession in order to beat inflation. Otherwise, it would have just kept rising. So anyways, here we are 40 years later. 1982 is when interest rates topped out. Here we are 2022. After 40 years of falling interest rates, now the Fed finds themselves in a mess because they have not been hiking interest rates when they should have been. They're way behind the curve, and the CPI comes in at 7.6%. The PPI comes in at 9.7%. And ribeye steaks have anti-theft devices attached to them at the supermarket, yeah. Okay? And gasoline is soaring. Oil's $95 per barrel. And really, there's no relief. It doesn't look like there's any end to it right now. There always is an end to it. But inflation is one of those things that kind of feeds on itself. It gets ugly. It can get ugly unless it's curbed very, very quickly. It's out of that bottle right now, out of that tube of toothpaste, and it's expanding, and it's an ugly thing. And the Fed is going to have to be even more active and probably act quicker than they originally anticipated to get inflation under control. This is not good news for people that own bond funds. This is not good news for people that own growth stocks with high P.E. ratios. Most of those reside in the technology sector. Instead, over at the other side of the street, the bank stocks, they benefit from higher interest rates. It gives them better profit margins, more room to move between the money they take in and the money they lend. Insurance stocks, I know this is boring, I know this isn't what you want to hear, but these are the areas of the market that are leading the market right now. The oil and gas stocks benefit wildly from many different angles. The inflation angle, the supply angle, which, all of that investment that we used to do in finding new oil fields and whatnot, is going away. It's not as robust as it used to be. You got a supply problem. You've got OPEC again that's saying we're not going to turn up the spigot. So there's another area of the market that benefits from these current conditions that we're in. So we've taken the approach to kind of pick on the areas that are vulnerable. We've used a few inverse ETFs. I just give you one example. You know, the ARK funds are way out there on the horizon, long-duration stocks. They're down 56% over the last 12 months. That's a bear market. I mean, 20% is a bear market. They're down 56%. We have an inverse ETF called SARK, S-A-R-K. When she goes down 4% a day, it goes up 4% a day. So there's a way to pick on, take advantage of, the areas of the market that are on the wrong side of the street, and at the same time, we have a pretty overweighted exposure to the banks, to the financials, to the oil and gas stocks, to commodities. Commodities benefit from inflation. We're seeing prices in almost everything from corn to wheat to chemicals to grain, just across the board, really, we're seeing inflation, natural gas, etc. So you have to take a totally different approach to the market. And I would venture to say that there's a lot of investors today that don't remember the year 2000 and what happened to the high PE stocks back then. Which they went down 80%, and many of those stocks never came back. And I think you're going to see a lot of these stocks today that were darlings a couple years ago. They're never going to come back. They're just going to continue to go down because we're in such a problematic environment here. Now, the inflation is also a threat to the overall market if it's not gotten under control. If the Fed has to really start raising rates faster than expected, that contracts the PE multiples, not only of individual stocks, but the overall market. So we're on very high watch right now. I would say just in general, value over growth, sectors that benefit from rising interest rates versus sectors that are hurt by rising interest rates, high vigilance on your portfolio, bond funds are in trouble, get the newsletter. It will direct you, GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. We'll be back for the final segment of the show. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show, week in review. Barry, we got to add in one more wild card that the market is dealing with right now, and that is Russia and Ukraine and what might happen there. That's kind of held the market hostage this past week. What influence do global crises like this geopolitics around the world have on the stock market?
Well, number one, and you hit it on it earlier, is the market hates uncertainty, right? And so, given that particular situation, it's kind of the poster child for uncertainty, right? And so,
day to day,
yeah. And so, you take that into account, and also, obviously with the backdrop of inflation, right? And then you look at those two countries, and we've hit on it before, but Russia, obviously, supplying gas, natural gas to Europe, the rest of Europe. You've got about 26% of the world's grain exports come from either Russia or Ukraine. I read something where I believe it's either 16 or 18% of corn exports in the world come from Ukraine. So you can imagine you have a disruption in, forget the gas and oil element, right? But the,
can't eat gas or oil.
You take the grain element, right? And you get, not only, does that play into livestock and feed and that type of thing, whether, wheat as well, actually stuff we ingest. So livestock prices could rise. You've also got, nowadays 10% of our gasoline we use, right, is ethanol, corn based. So corn prices go up, right? That's another tailwind for gasoline prices. And I think you mentioned it earlier this week in terms of how much of the country of Israel receives in terms of grain or wheat.
50%.
From Ukraine. So it's like I said, to me, the scariest piece of it, short of all the, human cost and potential for, nuclear, who knows, right, where it could go. But, from an inflation standpoint, it's kind of, I look at it as a risk of future and, built-in future inflation potentially, right?
And yes, absolutely.
I think the way you've got the portfolios kind of positioned now, oddly enough, it's actually built towards if that those handful of commodities that we mentioned, the portfolios are actually positioned to likely benefit from those increases in those areas.
I hate to even bring it up, but Ukraine has the third largest stockpile of nuclear weapons.
Right,
in
and,
the
and
world.
I didn't know that until you mentioned. I didn't know that until you mentioned it as well, which makes sense as a as kind of the I guess when that country kind of became its own country from the USSR, right? A lot of those other ones, right? You kind of expected. A lot of those other countries to kind of, become their own, but Ukraine, right, as a whole.
Yeah. They inherited all that arsenal.
Yeah. And it made up a large part of the USSR at the time, just land wise. And so it's a very, very interesting situation. And, main thing is anything that brings uncertainty to the market, regardless of what it is, whether it's a political election here, whether it's, geopolitical, potential for war elsewhere. I mean, it's, market hates uncertainty, and that's when you see jitters. And of course, we're going over onto a 3-day weekend here. I expect today to be a little bit bumpy. From that perspective, so.
Yeah, okay, so, our job as fiduciaries running portfolios for folks, most of which our clients happen to be either retired or close to retirement, I mean, we wear a couple of hats. One responsibility is to protect as best we can during, times like we're in right now, which are fairly turbulent. And we started selling all of our kind of high-tech stocks that are longer in duration a year ago. And we locked in a lot of profits. A lot of those companies benefited from COVID. That has worn off. Roku was a beneficiary of COVID. Zoom technology, with everybody Zooming, was a beneficiary. But that's worn off now, a long time ago. And the P.E. ratios and the price-to-sales ratios on those stocks were very high. So it was time to cash in about a year ago, which we were doing. And then it kind of is now transitioning. It's transitioned wickedly away from those areas over the past 12 months. But now with the Fed becoming really active with the intention of many rate hikes, you've just got to be way more defensive than you were before, and you have to take advantage, like we said previously, of the areas of the market that will benefit from rising rates. Could this put us into a recession? The Fed could put us into a recession and a bear market. We also have to be wary of that if they go too fast with those rate hikes. So, our firm, I've always built my firm on active management versus passive management. This is not a passive world. It's a very active world, more active than I've ever seen it in a long time, with the situation changing from day to day. And I like to be nimble and unconstrained to be able to go wherever I need to go, given the changing circumstances. So that's how we manage our stock portfolios here. That's how we manage our bond portfolio. Our ETF portfolios, they're positioned way different than they were a couple of years ago. Well, if you'd like to check us out, what we're all about, we're a virtual firm. I have been since I started the company. I have radio shows all across America, clients all across America that use our financial planning services, our money management services, etc. I write a very in-depth newsletter every week that's my own internal research. That newsletter only goes out to my clients and my subscribers every week. I have a lot of tools for people that like to manage their own money, which is fine. There's a lot of people like that out there today, more than ever. We offer 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. And if you'd like to make an appointment with us, an emergency appointment in these crazy times, 855-611-BEST. We'll give you a second opinion, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.